special that we want to sing? Emily, you want to sing a special? Okay. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. This is probably one of the most important parts of the Sermon on the Mount, and probably the one I don't understand as much of as I do some of the other things he has to talk about. It's an interesting thing Jesus is talking about. Sometimes when I read things that Jesus is talking about, I try to get it in context and think, what is he really trying to say to us here? Because I know he's a very smart man. He knows a lot about God. About as much probably as anybody that ever walked around here. And when he's talking to you about stuff, if you can figure out what it is he's trying to say to you, it'll be a big help to you. Because he really knows what he's talking about. And in this sermon, probably one of the longest discourses he ever gave. And here's where he's going to end it. We're getting down toward the end of it, and here's where he's going to end it. He's saying, have you heard all the words I've said to you? See, he starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness. Blessed are those so-and-so and so-and-so. You'll be like salt if you have this kind of attitude. You'll be like light if you have this kind of attitude. When you do righteous deeds, and everybody ought to do righteous deeds, but if you'll do them like I tell you, you'll have rewards in heaven. If you don't do it like I tell you, then whatever man sees you doing and brags on you or whatever, that's all you get. You don't get anything else. It's not an easy thing. Y'all have heard me do this. Do you know how to take a dollar bill, spend it in such a way so that when you get to heaven, he'll give you credit for it? Now, you can't be a dummy and get dividends off of that dollar, brother. And see, it's not that you give the dollar, it's how did you give the dollar? What was your purpose in giving the dollar? Why did you do it? See, I watched a man here in our church last Sunday night, I believe it was. Maybe the Sunday before. A fellow come by the church here and he needed some help. I watched a man here in church almost without hesitation say, here, I've got this much. And I thought, what do you know about that? Now, it wasn't that he had that much. It was how he could reach in his pocket and get it. See, that's what makes a difference. See, you may take a gun and get something off of Dave or, you know, Tony or somebody. But, and see, he said, Dave gave me $20. Yeah, but you had a gun in his head. I mean, see. Now, so what he gave that's kind of awkward there, see. Now, if he just gave you something he thought you needed, he just gave you $20 out of his own free will, that's a lot different. See, and Jesus said, I'm talking words to you, and if you can take my words and change them over into actions, make this thing work this way, you'll be exceedingly wonderful Christian. See, but it's not really an easy thing to do. Now, he got down to where he is here now. And before he gets to the positive, he's on the negative. On the negative, he's saying this in this seventh chapter. I mean, you studied, I believe, last week. Beware of false prophets. Prophets are people who put out words. That's their job. Prophets put out words. Watch what kind of words you listen to. Now, after he says this, which is a negative, beware false prophets. And then he'll turn around, and we won't get to this tonight, but we'll get to it someday maybe. He says this, anybody who listens to my words is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And when the storms come and the rain comes, his house will stand because he built it upon a rock. See? What's the rock? What I teach him. Words are so very, very important. And if you can figure out how to change them into W-O-R-K-S, see, it takes a pretty smart person to turn some of them. See, it's like teaching a doctor. You take words and say, you take this fellow by the throat right here, pull his arm up here and stick a knife up in here, and so forth. And you take words and you tell him, what am I doing? Well, if you'll do what I tell you, you can perform a good operation. But if you don't listen to what I tell you, you'll probably kill a fellow. See? But if you take my words, see, when he's learned how to be a doctor, take my words and do it like I'm teaching you, then you can help people. Now take it out of the natural, put it over in the spiritual. If you'll take God's word, do it the way he says do it, then you can help people. See? And that's what he wants to try to get you to do. But tonight, and I don't know really how to get it around to where me and you can really understand it. Look in verse 15. That's where we were last time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He said, beware false prophets. And I told you, what he's saying is this. They're out there. You're going to hear them. You can't help but hear them if you got your ears open. I mean, see, because you're out there fooling around where they are. Now, he says, beware. Beware means this. Don't take what they got and pull it to you and hold it to you. I mean, you may hear somebody say it, but don't take it and pull it to you like, I'm going to make that my own. That I'm going to make that the way I live. See, he says, false prophet. False prophet means, he'll have some truth in it. You can't get up and just bare face and tell lies, and people think, well, I know that. But false prophets are people who are not, they are people who are insincere. It means you take a piece of glass and you fix it with some kind of a glue or something to make it go together. That's not the real stuff because you mix some bad stuff in with it. False prophets are people who, they'll tell you some, they'll quote you John 3:16. They may even quote you a couple more verses. See, because they know they're not going to be able to just out and out. See, nobody tries to pass a $3 bill. Well, Will might, but I'm talking about real people. You know, real people don't try to pass $3 bills. Now, the reason they don't try to pass $3 bills, because there ain't no real ones. See? Now, they do try to pass fives and 10, 20, so forth, because there's real ones. See? Now, false prophets don't try to get up and pass off complete $3 bills. See? They've got a five that they run through somewhere. See? And there are some real fives. But he's going to try to pass something off to you that's mixed in such a way that it's not real. Now, here's what really hard to understand. Jesus said, you watch out for them, and here's the results of them. See if you can figure out who's what. See? And that's where it gets real hairy to think which one's what. So let's listen to what he says and see if you can figure any of it at all. If we do, we'd probably be doing pretty good. He said, now keep it in mind, verse 15. They wear sheep's clothing. They don't wear wolves clothing. They look like real sheep. Now he says, what they really need though is to they inwardly they ought to be out in the woods instead of out here where the sheep are. They should be out in the woods because they're not civilized enough to be out where real people are. Wolves don't belong out, you know, sitting in church house. We got some, but I mean, they don't really belong there. See, wolves belong out in the wilderness. That's where false prophets belong. See, that's where they ought to be. But they dress up and they come in to where me and you are. And they sit down beside of us. And they stand up and talk to us. They sing songs to us. They when they get dressed up, you say, hey, is that a sheep? Or is that a wolf? Now you got to figure out, well, which one is it? See? Because Jesus is saying here, inwardly they're wolves. Outwardly they look like sheep. And you got to figure out, because if you take their teaching and start to apply it to your life, it'll affect you. You'll come out somewhere. I don't know where, but you'll come out. See, because when you take teachings and try to put them into practice, then it'll create certain things in your life. So maybe you can figure us out and help us here. Okay? So listen to Jesus. He said in verse 16, now inwardly he said they're raving wolves, but in verse 16 he says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now this is a and this is what bothers me. See the word K-N-O-W? That's not information. That's not what that word means here. It's a command. See, he says, you must know them. I command you to figure them out. Now, we got so many. Is dumb is a good word for bunch of us church members? Okay. Now, we got so many dummies. That's why the Bible says, study, show thyself proved. Now, listen what it says. Study and show thyself approved, a workman, rightly doing what? All right, now see, those words mean this. Because old Paul was a tent maker, and the words, here's what he meant. If you're going to put a tent together and go make it work, he said, when you cut the strip down through here, rightly dividing, everything. You women that sew probably know what he's talking about. See, you got to cut it straight. It's got to be cut exactly right. Cut it here, right. And then when you start to fit it together, it all works. It fits. If you don't rightly divide it, you can't ever sew it together and make the tent come out. Now, Paul says, you as a Christian, take the instructions. Read them. Study them. And when it comes time for you to make your tent, you can cut it right. See? Now here he's saying, I command you that you know the false prophets. Do not pull them to you, but I command you that you know the false prophet. And that bothers me. I think, I don't know them all, Lord. I have a hard time figuring them out. He says, I command you. I am not requesting you. I command you. And that means I've got to read a little more, study a little more, so that I can figure out, is this fella telling me the truth? I growed up back here on the mountain. There's a lot of Pentecostal people back there. Handle snakes, talking tongues, you know, all that stuff. Well, all that stuff's in the Bible, ain't it? Is it in the Bible? Yeah. See, a snake even met Paul one time. He just shook it off and fired. See? All that stuff's in the Bible. Now, when a fellow comes along, he talks about, the Lord wants me to show you my faith, and I've got a big rattlesnake here. I'm going to show it to you. I think, man, I have a hard time seeing the Lord. You know, I have a hard time feeling religious even when I'm sitting there and he's handling a big rattlesnake. You know, I'm like, man, I don't feel too religious here. There's a lot of people doing it. Fell on the front page of New Sentinel for 2 or 3 days, a couple of weeks ago. Had big snakes up handling them and everything. Of course, the newspaper likes to make us look bad. That's why they were doing it. They didn't care about him or me and you either. They wouldn't take a good Christian that was doing something for the Lord and put it on the front page, but they will somebody they think, this makes Christianity look bad, so I'm going to put it on front page. Yeah. See, there are people who are false prophets. Now, they may think they're right. I don't know. I'm not here to judge them. I am here to look at their fruit because he commands me. I want you to know, look at their fruit and judge the fruit. If I walk out here and a tree is standing here with a big orange on it, I can tell you what kind of tree that is. What kind of tree would you think that'd be, Mike? Yeah, probably. That's the way most Christians. Yeah. See, Jesus said, now listen, even a kid, a little old kid, can discern a tree by looking at the fruit. Now, you got to discern, is this a good tree or a bad tree? Now, it may still have orange on it. And you're not just trying to figure out, is this orange tree, pear tree, apple tree, what kind of, yeah, that's not it. See, is this a good tree, bad tree? If it's a bad tree, will the fruit be good? No. Even though it's hanging an orange on there, it will not be good. So you cannot take it and eat it. See? So it's not just standing back and looking at a tree. You got to decide, is this good fruit or not? Yeah. And that's what he's going to say to you there in these words. See, now, prophets, you say, Jed, how am I going to figure this fruit? Now, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 ways. And you say, Jess, that ain't right. No, I don't care. Go ahead and you figure out your right then, will you? The only way to figure out whether fruit is true fruit or not, I'm going to give you 2 or 3. If he's telling you the truth, he'll be true to the Bible. See, now, he'll, you know, people stand up and when they start telling me something that the Lord gave them and I can't find it in the Bible and so forth, I just turn thumbs down as far as what I'm concerned. I'm just judging what I'm hearing. See, and John said, you try the spirits, and here's the way you try them. Anybody who does not put Jesus in the right place, anybody who does not put God in the right place, anybody who doesn't put they don't put these in the right place, it don't matter what they call themselves, Baptist or Pentecostal or what, it don't matter what they call themselves, if they don't put Jesus and God in the right place, stay away from them. You start eating their fruit and you're going to have indigestion, you're going to have sickness, you're going to have disease. And then when you hear the true gospel, you won't want to fool with it because you like it. McDonald's stuff, a lot better than who makes a good meal? Cracker Barrel? you like them French fries and all that stuff. See, and you think you need to go get you a good meal. See, but you get hooked on the junk, what they call junk food, and that's what you want. See. See, Bella asleep. Now, if you take Bella by McDonald's, that's what she wants. Yeah, McDonald's I want. See, get hooked on that. And that's what immaturity will do for you. See, and it's amazing to watch. See, I've never figured out, and this is mean to me, but Dave, don't go out and tell it. I'm okay. Okay. All right. I've never figured out how Baptists, I mean, pretty well growed up, you know, studying the Bible and everything in the Baptist church and everything, go off and join the Catholic Church, where they worship idols and bow down and Hail Mary, Mother God, and so on. You know, I've never figured it out. I think, how can you? Now, I can understand, I don't have much sympathy with it, but I can understand how Baptists go off and get into some other stuff. But, I mean, I never could understand how they completely turn to idols and so forth, you know. I just never did understand that. You think, how did you get that far off base? See, even if you left the Baptist and said, I'm not going back to Baptist church at all, how did you get far enough off base that you was worshiping just pieces of wood? See, I think there's something real bad wrong there some way for you to do that. So, in these verses here, he is saying, if they're true, if it's a good fruit, it'll be true to the Bible. And this is not easy to do. I've messed up on it so many times. Jesus will always come out as number one in their teaching. He'll always come out number one in their teaching. See, he'll be the one. Anybody who does not exalt Jesus, see, that's I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, and I'm that. You get nervous when you hear that, okay? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit come and he will testify of me. That's what Jesus said. When he comes, if the Holy Spirit is leading somebody, well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That verse just come to me. I can't quote it. If I could quote it, I'd real act smart and quote it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Raise your hand if you got it. All right, Sarah, read it out good and loud. Start with the first verse, and we'll get to what it is I got on my mind down through there somewhere.
1 Corinthians 12:1.
Yep.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but the Holy Ghost.
All right. Now you got what I said. See, if you're being led by the Holy Ghost, if you're being led by the Spirit of God, Jesus comes out number one. Nobody can put Jesus in a cursed position, which means that that God's not favoring Jesus, that for some reason. See, now even when Jesus hung on the cross, you remember what the Jews said, the Old Testament said? Cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. See, now, and that's when Jesus was hanging on the cross. See, now, Paul said anybody who takes Jesus and puts him in a place of cursed, he don't mean cussing going on like y'all do. He means God is not favoring him. He's putting some kind of bad omen on him or something. See, that's cursing. That's what it means in the Bible there. See, he's talking about anybody that puts Jesus in bad light, like God's not really the big dog here, so to speak. See, anybody that does that, you don't want to follow him. He's not a true prophet. He's not being led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God always exalts Jesus. He always exalts Jesus. He don't exalt Jesse. He don't exalt Janet. He exalts Jesus. And the only standing men you got's worth anything at all is our relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. See, I mean, we ain't got nothing else that can hold us up there and make us worth nothing, see, except Jesus Christ, see. So you can know a false prophet if he is not true to the Bible, and that's why you need to know the Bible, see. And if he does not make Jesus number one in whatever it is he's teaching, see, You ever hear him say stuff like that? And it just aggravates me, but I think, Jesse, you ain't got nothing. You know, send me $1,000 and all your cars will be paid off and your house will be paid off and do something. send it to me. And I think, see, I know that's not of God because of the Bible, not because I'm saying it. See, because he is putting me up here. You do this to me, and certain things will happen to you. No, the only thing you got that's worth anything for you is what you hold up Jesus. See, when you hold up Jesus, the only thing you got coming to you that's worth anything is because of that, because you're holding up Jesus. And it just really irritating. And there's got to be scads of people out there that believes that stuff because they couldn't stay on there if they didn't. I mean, somebody has to be sending them something or they couldn't keep paying the bills. And it's amazing. And it, you say, Jesse, the heathens one send it to them. No, it's religious people. The heathen says, hey, I don't believe that baloney. You got religious people. Go to church every week. I believe that. I'm going to do it. See? Now, Jesus said, watch anybody who don't teach true to the Bible and who don't make Jesus number one. And then the third thing that I marked down here is this. You need to know how many people have you helped get saved. See, I run up on people who talk to me about being religious and all this kind of stuff and knowing the Bible. And you say to them, when's the last time you won somebody to the Lord? Now, see, if your influence is not getting somebody saved sometime, I'm not saying every Sunday somebody has to get saved. But you say, Jesse, I've been saved 20 years, and I ain't never helped nobody get saved. Don't that bother you? See, that's what the Christian life's about. Reproduction. Reproducing. See, we had 12,000 Baptist churches this past year and went a whole 12 months. Didn't baptize one person. Now, do you think that's scriptural? See, because the Bible teaches it teaches you to reproduce. Reproduce. See, even when he made Adam and Eve, he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to replenish. I want you to produce. I want you to do. And they got off into eating apples or something. You know, he says, well, why'd you mess up? Now, well, Christian, listen to him. I want you to go into all the world and take this message. And as soon as you take this message, they will get saved. When you get them saved, I want you to baptize them. You say, well, I know. Now, you may think, well, I don't mean, you know. No, he didn't. You said, he didn't mean it just for the preachers. He didn't mean it just for Sunday school teachers. He meant it everybody who gets saved. This is your primary task, is getting people saved. It's not, you know, and I hope you all will start praying now because we're praying with a young man to come here and go to work with us in church and probably be here around the 1st of January. And some of you now, you've been sitting here looking at me. Now we're going to come up and say to you, are you ready to go? See, you're going to have to do something besides sit in church and breathe softly. We need to be winning people to the Lord. See, we need to be. And you need to get you 2 or 3, 4 or 5. The old preachers, you say it like it. You got a burden for somebody? If you ain't got a burden for nobody, come up here at the altar and get you one. Let the Lord lay somebody on your heart. Lord, lay somebody on my heart that I can win. Wouldn't it be wonderful, for instance, just the people sitting here, oh, we've got 30 people. Something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us won one person to Jesus in 2014? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd had a double sitting here next year at this time, sitting here, and you think, I won this in Jesus. See? You say, Jesse, I don't know how. Yes. Ask the Lord to give you a burden. Lord, who give me somebody that I can witness to and to help get saved or whatever. See, because that's what it's all about. And I run up on some real religious people, and when they go into, you know, oh, I'm so holy, I can't hardly breathe. You know, I kind of slyly say, when's the last time you won somebody to Jesus? Well, let me tell you about so-and-so. Now, if you're as holy as some of these people that talk to me sometimes, if you're that holy, people ought to be getting saved all around you, man. I mean, if you're that holy, see, people who are lost shouldn't be able to get around you without deciding, man, I want to trust Jesus because this fellow's really got the fire going, see. And so me and you want to move up and start becoming what he has asked us to become. I don't know whether this... Did this girl have anything to do with this boy coming to church? Did she? Well, you said, well, they're courting. Well, I don't matter. Beat you, didn't it? You ain't have nobody coming, do you? Nobody wants to be seen with you. I'm not going to church with you. Don't that ever bother you? Don't ever bother you? No, I don't want to be seen with you. And no, I don't really want to go with you. Okay. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is quite an interesting thing. That's the menu read. Now listen. By their fruits ye shall know them. Ye means God's people. Know means this is a command. I command you to figure them out. Know them. Now, if I asked you this question, you answer it. Do men gather grapes from thorns? Do they get figs from thistles? See, it's a lot. He said even a kid can figure it out. See? Now, here's the question. What are they getting off you? See, whatever they're getting off you tells what kind of person you are. You say, well, they get nothing off me. Do you know how close to nothing you are then? See, you affect people. And it's interesting to watch. I work with Janet and them sometimes in the store. And this past week, we was having revival in there. They were shouting and hollering and singing, God going on. And they come up to me and they said, I'm real sorry, you know, everything. But I heard you over there talking to that fellow about the Lord. And they said, I just, you know. I said, well, we pay the rent here. We can do whatever we want to. But it gave me a good feeling about Jesus. You can just talk about Jesus, and it's amazing how it affects people. I mean, people that you're not even talking to. See? One woman come over, and she broke down crying. She's standing there at the counter. She said, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Because I know y'all must be good Christians. I hear y'all talking. Will y'all pray for me? You say, Jesse, people don't want to hear that stuff out in public. Oh, you're just kidding yourself. You're just kidding yourself. See? Jesus said, whatever you are, if you're a grape tree, you won't have no figs come out. If you're a fig tree, won't be no grapes. So forth. See? What comes out, what's the result from your life, says this is the kind of person you are. See? And he's pretty smart. I figure he about figures out what he knows what he's talking about. He's pretty smart. So he says, now, you can look at teaching, and I keep doing it faithfully, trying to, and you can look at teaching, and if you teach and preach it right, now everybody sitting there is not going to latch on to it, but a lot of them is going to latch on to it. I have people that will say things like this. I tell you, I just pray for Will that the Lord will keep blessing him. He just really going for God, so forth and everything. And I think, well, how'd you know that? He just all watching you. See, you think nobody don't watch you. Oh, yeah, they're watching you. See, and you put off a odor. Is that a good word, Susan? That's a good word. Okay. You put off a, see, you put off an atmosphere that's created around people. See, it's real important, see, that you listen to Jesus. Jesus said, if you listen to the right kind of teaching, if you'll take it in, the right kind of teaching, it will develop you. He'll make you into something. And I've watched people down through the years and everything. Well, let me take BJ. Y'all, BJ is my grandson. You know who I'm talking about? Now, all of y'all that's heard him preach, you come up and say, boy, he's a good preacher. He is. Now, here's what makes me feel good. And I know you're lying, but I don't care. You said, he preaches a lot like you do. But see, BJ growed up with me. We started taking him to Sunday school and all this kind of stuff. And I helped win him to the Lord and baptized him and all that kind of stuff. See? And when he stands up to preach, you know what I say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, when I see some of y'all, thank you, Lord. Thank you. See? Because this teaching, you say, it ain't bothering me. Oh, yeah, you just don't know. It's a working. See? And Jesus said, whatever kind of product comes out, you may look back and say, oh, that's because of that kind of teaching. See, you can be around a kid for a while and figure out his mom and dad in a little while. Because that kid will come out in that mom and dad. Just whatever's in that mom and dad. See, if you go to the first grade in school and talk to that teacher, you'd be ashamed to ever go to a PTA meeting again. Because that little kid has told everything that you've ever done at the house. They've told everything you've ever done. See? And Suzanne could tell you stories that if the people knew that she knew what about them, what them little kids had told her, they wouldn't ever come around her no more. They think, I don't want to be around a teacher because she knows stuff on me that's awful. See? You say, what's happening? Those kids, them parents is coming out through them kids. See, it's coming out. And it's just what Jesus is saying here. You teach the right thing, it'll come out. It'll come out. You teach the right thing. See? So it's very, very important. And so he says, you beware of false teaching because false teaching does have its results. See? Just like good teaching does. Good teaching has its result. False teaching has its results. See? Just like trees. And it's interesting he uses trees to tell you because trees have to do with growing. See? See, if you just keep the Bible, Uncle Fred Baker, I don't know, I'll probably never tell you this. Uncle Fred Baker, well, he wasn't my uncle. He just went to church where I got saved. He had a real pretty little girl. Or at least I thought so when I was about 13 years old. And I used to pass notes school, all this kind of stuff. I like you. Do you like me? Uncle Fred, he couldn't read. Uncle Fred would sit in church. He was what we call a church. We didn't know it. I didn't know what an exhorter was back then, but he was an exhorter. He could listen to a sermon and get right up after that sermon and say, folks, you have heard the word of God. And you need to come and do something about it. And I've seen the altar just flood with people when he'd get up and say things like that. We don't have exhorters in church anymore. Barely got preachers. But the exhorter would take the preacher's sermon and exhort people to do what the preacher said. And they're in the Bible. See, God gave exhorters to the church, but nobody's doing it anymore. Anyway, Uncle Fred, we'd preach sermon. He'd say to me, because I was a young Christian, he'd say, Jesse, could you come down to the house this afternoon? And me and you read a little bit about what that preacher said this morning. Well, I was glad to go, not to read the Bible. But I was glad you'd go down there, because I believe be standing over there greeting at different places. She'd come by, you know. Well, I'd have the Bible. And Uncle Fred, he said, he could remember where the preacher preached. He said, there's so-and-so in the Bible. You turn over and read that, yeah? Well, I'd start reading. And he said, wait just a minute. Go back up just back of that a little. Let's see why he said that. No. And I'd back up and read some scripture. And he said, well, I don't know. He said, read two or three verses right after that, what he said there. Read two or three verses right after that. Maybe we got to figure out why he said that. Now, he either said it because of something just before that or something that he was leading up to. Just, what was it? And he got me interested in studying the Bible. And he couldn't read. And I got so that I thought, you know, if you can figure that out, that'll be worth something to you. See, if you can figure this book out and start living what it tells you, you won't believe what it'll do for you. It's amazing. I mean, it's better than these women's recipe books. You know how they read them and think, oh, I figured out how to make a cake here. If you'll take this recipe book, you'll be amazed at the kind of cakes and pies you can come up with that's really worthwhile for somebody that knows you, see, if you'll figure it right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Shake your head. Okay. But Uncle Fred taught me to love the Bible. To try to figure the Bible out, what it was saying and everything. And I always thank God for Uncle Fred, because he just wanted to know why that verse is like that. See, he heard the preacher preach on it, and he probably believed the preacher, but he wanted to know why all that was like that was, like what it was. So in these verses here, Jesus says, verse 17, even so every good tree bring forth good fruit. Now, he means two things here. He means every good tree looks good and brings forth good fruit. It is good. Every tree that brings forth good fruit looks good and is good. See? And so that makes sense. 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Yours say evil. Huh? Evil fruit means fruit that is diseased or useless. I don't know why King James and them put the word evil in there anyway, because fruit's just fruit, and it's, it can be diseased and useless, but I don't know about evil, you know. But they used it for a translation. See, a good tree can't produce diseased fruit. It produces. Now, whatever kind of fruit you produce shows what kind of tree you are. See? Whether you're a good tree or not. See? Okay. 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That means you ain't worth nothing to it. Now, he's not talking about being saved and be lost. Everybody wants to get on it. Does that mean you be saved and you be lost? He's not talking about that. He means if you don't bring forth good fruit, you're useless to me. You're useless to me. And sometimes I think, I don't know why he bothers with us, to tell you the truth. Because we are almost completely useless a great lot of the time. Because he saved us and put you right in the middle of stuff. Put you right in the middle of it. See? You say, wonder why he saved me? Because he wanted a mechanic. He wanted a carpenter. He wanted a school teacher. He wanted someone. He wanted it sitting right there. And he said, I'm going to save this and put this tree right here. And I want them to bring forth fruit. And the people who eat the fruit will say, that's wonderful. That's good stuff. Now, you say, well, the preachers don't know. I'm honest when I say this. I think the preacher probably going to come out being the least of everybody's in church. I'm not kidding you. I know everybody, well, the preacher's up front. He's going on. When I studied the book, people that get up front all the time, I think he says, don't think you're worth something because you ain't worth nothing. Now, the people who seem to be useless, he says, that's people I'm counting on. I mean, he just does it that way. You say, Jeff, that don't seem right. Don't make any difference. That's the way he does it. See? And old Butch Terry, he worked for General Motors. Every January, I'd give an invitation for people to dedicate their life, try to win somebody to God during that year. And old Butch, after he got saved, first time I did that in January, Butch got up out of his seat and come down the front and got in the altar. And he stood up. I'll always remember that first time he stood up because he did it every year after that. He stood up. He said, I hope you all pray for me because I'm asking God to let me win 20 people to Jesus this year. I thought, good Lord of mercy. And old Butch, Sunday after Sunday, not every Sunday now, but Sunday after Sunday, old Butch would have somebody with him. He'd come always and sit within five. If you get somebody come to church with you that's not a Christian, don't sit on the back with them. They don't know where you're supposed to sit in church. Say, we sit up here. Bring them up here where I can spit on them. See, bring them up here where they can't get their attention off on something else where you can really preach to them. Because I'd always tell Butch and all of them, bring them up to the front where I can preach to them. Now, they sit there and sweat and everything like Harry and Joe and them did. And, you know, that's all right. Let them sweat. Old Butch averaged 25 people a year as long as I was there as a pastor. He averaged 25 preachers. He's a dead now and gone to be the Lord. But he had a lot of people that went to heaven with him. See, no man down here in Chattanooga went to his preacher and he said, I like to win people, Lord. But he said, I can't read and everything and I'd just be embarrassed and everything. Preacher said, give me your Bible. He reached him his Bible. He said, I'm going to color them here. What do they call them things where you color them?
Highlight.
All right. So I'm going to highlight these scriptures and just took the book of Romans and highlighted all of sin, wages of sin, death. You know, whosoever called on the name of the Lord be saved, so forth, just highlighted. He said, now when you go after witness, so just put it up in front of them and tell them, say, read that. So they didn't know he couldn't read. He'd just take the Bible and open it up, and he'd say, did you know we're all sinners? Look at it, read that. And he'd get them to read it out loud. And they'd read, for all of sin and come short of glory. He said, see there? We're all sinners. He said, here, read this one. He could find that color. He didn't know how to read the words, but he could find that color. And then once they read it, he could remember it long enough to talk to them about it. Preacher said he won 35 people to Jesus first year. You say, Jesse, I can't do it. Could you stick it in front of them some way? It's amazing when you see people who are going to do it. Jesus said, a good tree will produce Some real good stuff. Have you all had enough of this? Shake your head. You get the point? Shake your head.
Okay.
We'll finish it up. It don't matter. He'll be there. It won't go nowhere. He'll stay right there. And I'm hoping, trusting, praying. Because we will really be getting serious with children and youth ministry starting in January here at this church. Now, we will be directing a great lot of all of our attention, everything, to that. And we may not be able to have church on Sunday night. We may be having classes and stuff on Sunday night, training people how to witness and how to win people, Lord, and what the Bible teaches about God and what it teaches. So we may not wind up y'all sitting here listening to me yak and go on. See, y'all have listened long enough now. We're going to have to start doing something. See, we may have to start on Sunday night having choir practice, having training classes, and having youth meetings and their choir practices and all that kind of stuff, and kids meeting and having their situations where we can talk to kids. And see, Sunday night may not look nothing like what we're doing here now before we get, because you may be involved in it working. You say, I don't know nothing. That's all right. None of us don't know nothing. We'll put you down there and let you tell them nothing. See, we've got there's too many people lost around us here. Now, we've got 4, 5, 6, 7 of you that can do it. And the others don't think you can do it, but you'd be surprised what you can do if you just let the Lord lead you. See, is Deborah going to be all right, Lisa? Is she going to be all right helping you? See, she just lit on both ends wanting to do something, and Lisa's trying to guide her and help her. Her and Meg trying to guide her, help her. See, now y'all had, 6 this last Wednesday? Okay, that's 6. And they were kids that come, 6, tell them about the Lord. See, so they're out there, and we're looking forward to the days that are ahead. You get to praying, because the 1st January, we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. You say, about what? About your pocketbook. See? Because if we go into it, you'll have to buy some stuff. See? So we're going to be meeting, praying about that. And see, Dave right here, he's had all kinds of tracks made. How many have you handed out in your lifetime, Dave?
I don't know.
Well, give me a big old line number.
Thousands.
Thousands. He's handed out thousands. You young mate. You say, Jesse, I don't know how to talk. You can hand out a tract, can't you, Dave? If you can't talk, you can hand out a tract. See? And so this coming year, I'm praying the Lord will make us into the kind of church we need to be, and winning people to God and getting them ready to go to heaven and kind of stirring things up around here. See? So you be praying, because I've had 2 or 3 men walk up to me and said, don't you worry about whatever you need. Don't you worry about what you need. I said, I'm not worried about it. The Lord's never had a money problem. He has people problems. Getting people to do something. But he don't have money problems. Because he owns cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns hills. So he don't have that kind of problem. Problem is me and you. Now, if he can get us to start moving where the direction he wants us to go, he'll be right there with us. And we'll have the time you won't believe days ahead. Anybody got a word they want to say before we go? All right, Pat.
Put them on your
What's that first name?
Ethan.
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 Ethan. Ethan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody? Anybody else got a word? Tony, word of prayer for us, and we'll go.